Hey.
Hello.
Hey. Yeah, here we are.
Here we are.
It is April 17th.
Yeah.
These are the comics that are going to be coming out on April 18th. This is the Actually Comics podcast. Nice. And I am Tristan.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be talking about the books out tomorrow. There's a whole mess of stuff. Not the least of which being Action 1000 and some other...
I put that on top.
Some other biggies, because that's going to be the most important thing of the week. I mean, at least the most significant culturally of the week.
I think what I said in the store was, like, you can't not buy Action Comics number 1000.
That's,
you know, I mean, DC's banking on that anyway.
They absolutely are. The number of calls that I've had for people saying, I want to purchase all covers...
Oh, geez.
I was like, how is this possible?
Yeah, because there's like covers that are specific to like stores, right? So it's but you mean
Sure.
like all the covers
they want
that
all of
are
the
regular years. Covers.
Yeah,
I noticed
people trying to get 10.
Oh, there's a 10?
There's literally one per decade.
It was a choice. I had to go through a process with Action Comics 1000 because, you know, obviously I want a copy of Action Comics 1000 and... There was a Dave Gibbons cover. There was a Steve Rude cover. There was
There's
a Michael Cho cover. And I ended up going with the Michael Cho.
Yeah, the War Bonds cover.
Yeah, the 1940s era, if it's all decades. So it's out. And it's a bunch of short stories, some of which are surprisingly decent, and a couple of which... There was only one that I didn't like at all, and that was the Scott Snyder one. But there's like a Paul Dini, Jose Luis Garcia Lopez. There's it starts with a Dan Jurgens. You know, it's a real play towards the history of Superman and a lot of pinup-y type stuff. And everybody's got a take on the iconic Superman story, and some.
And then the last one is the big lead-in to Man
Bendis.
Of Steel,
and didn't hate it.
No, I didn't either.
Did not hate it.
I mean, it's a little on the nose, as they say, but it's on the nose in a way that I would be enjoying reading.
Yeah, so it addresses that whole thing of like Superman doesn't have anybody to fight that can really, even though he's constantly getting beaten up really badly by gods and things like that. Supposedly, there's this wisdom that says that Superman can't be beat, and it's true because it's Superman. You know, he's not ever going to really be beat. But like, I don't know. It was a surprisingly non-fight scene filled series of stories, mostly kind of
up until the last one, just a
fight scene for sure. That was where I was going with that. It was the stories are more of a here's us being really into the history of Superman and what it means to be Superman, and then a big fight scene at the end.
Yeah,
but it was cool.
It is.
Whatever. I think it could have been way worse.
I could definitely see this being literally worth the amount that they're charging for it, which, you know, it's hard to find a comic that's worth $8.
Sure.
That's a tough one. That's a tough number.
This one, if it were Action Comics number 1027 and it were this long and cost $7.99 and it were exactly the same, I would probably not. It's really like the thing that pushes it over the edge is that... you know, for me anyway, I'm not I love DC Comics and I love Superman, but I don't know. I don't want to sound negative.
Action's been a hard sell for us at least for a while. Like it has been staggeringly low in the sales numbers for our book, like in the bottom 10% of like major titles.
Oh. Here's one thing that I noticed that was cool about it was they did a story that was from old art with like new story, and it's by Kurt Swan, the art. So there was an actual Kurt Swan story borrowing a page from the first Superboy comic I ever remember owning, which was the one where he left Smallville, but instead they took Smallville out digitally and put in some islands. But anyway, Superman Action Comics number 1000. Is out this week and has lots of covers and lots of that's a thing.
It's a money grab, but it's a fun money grab.
I don't regret in any way, shape, or form spending money on Action Comics number 1.
And those are the best money grabs, the kind that are actually worth it.
Or I should say I won't buy it tomorrow.
I didn't read Justice League, so you should talk about it.
Oh, Justice League was amazing. I really liked it. So this is the last issue of Justice League before Christopher Priest, or sorry, before Scott Snyder takes over and the whole relaunch and whatever is happening with Justice League. But this is the end of the Christopher Priest run, which was, we've talked about in past episodes. This is really, really good. Deathstroke has a really cool role to play, but this is, I wish this run was continuing. I loved this. When it's in trade, whatever the trade will end up being called, it'll have some name. It'll be worth buying. The Christopher Priest Justice League trade. Get it.
Yeah, I'd like to just say too, people, I don't know why, people think of Christopher Priest as a guy who doesn't write comics anymore. Like, weird. People look back on his old runs. People are like, oh yeah, I remember Christopher Priest. He's still as good as he's ever been. He's like one of the few guys that hasn't burned out. I don't know about that, because goddamn, his run on Black Panther was good.
Yeah, but see, it was
real good.
I never really connected with it.
Yeah.
And I never really connected with Quantum and Woody, which I think he used to do as well.
I didn't know that
kind of, you know, everything has a headline and kind of, I think he's really, over the years, like, refined that style, but he has something to say, and he puts, you can read this Justice League comic, which has, you know, but I feel like, I'll complete the thought before I end the sentence in the middle of it, but this has personalities for Superman and Batman and Deathstroke and, you know, whoever else, the Green Lanterns that are in it or whatever, and it all makes, there's stakes to it, it's good, it makes you want to read more. Like, I'd like to see what he would have done had he continued. And which isn't to say that I don't think that the next thing will be great. Everything gets reinvented so often that when something good comes along, and you know, it's same thing happened last week with Nightwing.
Yes.
Issue of Nightwing. Because there was a new issue of Nightwing out this week, which is out tomorrow, when I don't know, number 40 something. And it was not by the same people who did the last issue of Nightwing, which was amazing. And you know, there's like something that's coming up where they're going to relaunch everything and Nightwing's going to have a new bold new whatever. And so there's this thing where they put people on the book and give them this like kind of free reign to do cool stuff right before the thing ends. And you see that over the years, you know, like when a book's on its getting canceled and being relaunched, then the team will just kind of go all out and do these cool things. And that was like last issue of Nightwing got this amazing comic that was really, really super fun to read. Also, one thing I didn't talk about last week when I did talk about Squirrel Girl, but if you didn't read the last issue of Squirrel Girl that came out, it's that last Erica Henderson issue, and it is
no kidding,
absolutely jaw-droppingly good.
Oh, that's too bad.
But
where's she going?
She's gonna do creator own stuff. It's amicable and cool sense. And it's just they got,
she's been doing it forever.
Yeah, they did a bunch of issues, but this run, that issue was like they saved it for the end, and it was stellar. Awesome. And there's a cool secret code in the cover that I didn't notice last week either. That's lots great. Of cool stuff.
When you talk about my favorite example of that thing you were talking about earlier, where people go all out right before something, do you remember the Ultimates, the run, like the last run before it got relaunched?
Ultimatum?
No. It was called The Ultimates. It only went for 6 issues or 5 issues or something like that. Basically, it starts out and it's just a normal, like, kind of that Fantastic Four world. And then it was announced that they were canceling the book. And I don't know if this was the plan all along, but it seems very much like they canceled the book. They said, you got 3 more issues. Do whatever the fuck you want. And from out of nowhere, Galactopus from the... from the Peter Porker universe shows up.
What?
And Dr. Doom and like all of these characters from the Peter Porker universe show up in this ultra serious Ultimates book. And Miles Morhamis shows up as well.
Nice.
And it was bonkers. And I absolutely dug it. It just really felt like a total fuck you to management.
But
there's no way they could have allowed that to happen.
But like otherwise. If they did, like think about how great it would be that we live in a world where like free reign was just like real free reign was there. And and so this Christopher Priest run, you know, it makes it sound like we're like, oh, he's just like all bets are off or whatever. But it's not.
Right.
It's just he just told a really good Justice League story, and it has very good quality art. It sets up. There's a little the very end of the issue kind of links to the next thing that's going to happen, whatever. But anyway, we talked about Justice League for too long.
Too long.
Another book that's out this week that I'm excited about is Rumble, number 5 of the new series, and the alternate cover by, who is this guy?
Some
Gabriel Hernandez-Walta, who I believe was the artist of the Vision series. His alternate cover is a absolute thing of beauty. And I loved this issue of Rumble. It was a little bit of a dovetail where you get the main character as in his old life, where he was an elder kind of hero, Beowulf type guy. And it's this crazy story about friendship and sets up the next thing, but also, well, crazy story about friendship. At the end, it becomes that, but it's a gigantic battle that takes place with, like, literally, like, oceans of blood.
And oceans of blood.
Crazy. Oceans of blood. Can't miss it. Speaking of oceans of blood, Spider-King is also out from IDW. I should have said Rumble is by John Arcudi and David Rubin. And Spider-King, IDW number 3 is out. I missed number 2, so I was a little bit behind, but I love the first issue of the series a lot, and this issue is also really good. This is another Headlopper-esque kind of tale from the, like, a world of Beowulf kind of people, barbarians, but there's also this alien technological people with antlers growing out of their eyes. Crazy, crazy crap, and I love
typical
it.
Stuff.
Yeah, no, this is a really good book. I like Spider King by Josh Van, Simone Darmini. I don't need to go any deeper into the credits on that. I'm just hitting my books that I was really excited to read that were really, really good. And I'm going, oh, Black Hammer's back.
Yeah.
And also, if a little format different, I'm not just like steamrolling over Tristan's list. He's just kind of...
I'm following Bob today because Bob read everything and I read about 6 things.
I did. I just power sauce.
I'm just going to let him. So, yes, please.
Yeah.
Continue.
Yeah. Sorry. I powered through these books and I did like actually read them all too. Black Hammer, Age of Doom, number 1 from Dark Horse by Jeff Lemire, Dean Ormston. So this is a continuation of the actual Black Hammer, not a exploration of the universe like you've seen with the other miniseries. So all of the characters from the first series of Black Hammer are in this. And so this is like kind of like a Justice League rejected Justice Society pitch that like became, I mean, I don't know that that's what it is, but that's what it feels like.
Yeah,
like he does. Maybe tried to do this at DC and they were like, nah, we don't like that take. And so he was like, well, I'll just make up my own entire universe of superheroes. And it's this amazing, amazing book. Probably the best superhero book on the stands emotionally. There's a real gravity to the story and I super dig it. So this is them trying to escape their prison world and the Ghost Ramones are in it.
Finally, the Ghost Ramones make an appearance in a comic.
They're not called the Ghost Ramones. They're actually kind of zombie Ramones. There's
awesome.
A lot of occult. Basically, this kind of opened... This story started as a superhero's lost in a pocket dimension and is now kind of opening into a supernatural... Demonic
type B. Oh, I need to read this.
Yeah, it's a real good... Not a disappointment. Speaking of not a disappointment, a book that I hadn't read in a while, I picked up, and that's Quantum and Woody from Valiant, and that is number 5, and I really liked this. The art is phenomenally good, and it was just a fun... There's a guy, a villain in this that's a walking hedge, and his name is Thedge. And amongst other amazing
Thedge,
the walking hedge, and there's also other really great stuff, but storytelling wise this is a really amazing book. I really like the way the panels are laid out, and the story has humor but also has gravity, and good. I was really glad I took a chance on Quantum and Woody again, so that was... And another one. Okay, haven't read any of the Ta-Nehisi Coates Black Panther. I have not read one issue of it. I probably should have. Yes, because I read this one and it's really good. Yeah. So I read X-Men Gold, which was out. Yes. I don't remember the issue number. Didn't bring a copy.
Bah.
It's something about Colossus and Kitty Pryde getting married or something, because everybody's got to get married in or whatever, you know. But anyway, that issue was like this X-Men, actual X-Men comic that was playing to the history of X-Men comics. And it was just sappy and like maudlin and just kind of like, blah, whatever. I didn't like it.
I won't disagree.
But Black Panther, number 172 by Ta-Nehisi Coates, Leonard Kirk, is out. And this comic had a out of complete left field for me, having not read any issues of the series before, play to the Fall of the Mutants storyline. And Storm is in this. And it was a fantastic issue. And for reasons I will discuss later, I'm kind of putting Batman, the main Batman series, down, but I'm going to start picking up Black Panther based on this issue. It's really good. Liked it. And then my two favorite, and there's still plenty more to talk about in terms of
give me that
of
Batman
things.
Book. I need to see what the hell's going on.
Yeah. You can take any of those. So Mr. Miracle, number 8. Now, I'm going to dovetail this into a conversation about Batman, because Tom King wrote Mr. Miracle, and he also wrote Batman. Mr. Miracle has art by Mitch Gerads, and this issue was delightful. Like, I don't know that that's a word that I feel comfortable using, but it was amazing.
It was a delight.
It was delightful. It's this, so Mr. Miracle has a baby, and he is part-time superheroing with his wife. One of them watches the baby while one of them fights. And while Mr. Miracle is watching the baby, the character Funky Flashman, who is basically Stan Lee, he is created as a parody of Stan Lee in the 70s by Jack Kirby. And it's so he's like taking care of this baby. But then it flips to where he is High Father of New Genesis now, and he's fighting this battle against Darkseid where everything is just red and blood and terrible, and it's this horrendous battle. And then it just flips back and forth to like when he's with the kid, and it's amazingly funny. It's there's a heart to it that's I really like the series, and I particularly loved certain issues of it, and this is another top notch, really good. This will be amazing in a trade if you're not into the regular issues. Mr. Miracle number 8. And then I'll talk about Batman, which is another book by the same writer. But the last thing I wanted to talk about from my, this is highly recommended pile. And I'm giving a metal sign while I do this. Cave Carson has an Interstellar Eye, number 2 from DC Young Animal imprint. I love, this is an amazing, awesome comic. And I have to spoil a little bit of it because I feel like if I tell the story of what's happening, like it might be the kind of a book where you pick it up and you're just like, kind of what is going on? I don't get this. Superman's not in it. But so what's going on is that Cave Carson has a cybernetic eye, and that's the name of the series previous to this. And his eye comes out of its head and has its own kind of intelligence. And it also has the power to do things like turn into a spaceship. And in this first issue of this series, which was the setup, it took him and his daughter and his daughter's boyfriend into space. And they're lost in space, floating in this eye. And in this issue, which is called Destiny of the Laser Monks, Part 1, they meet on an alien planet, the Laser Monks, which are basically like Novas or Green Lanterns or He-Man or any of these kind of things where it's like a good versus evil, very like flat, no, it's a caricature, you know? And they crash land into the skull of the main bad guy. So it would be like Skeletor, and they just like blow his head off by landing on the planet. And then they proceed to kind of ingratiate themselves into the lives of the Laser Monks and exploit them in the name of science.
Can you blame them?
And it's hilarious. This, like, I can't One thing I can't spoil is if you actually invest into this and sit down and read it, it is super funny. And there's a kind of a repeating gag that happens with the bad guys that I think is one of the funniest things I've seen in comics. It is, makes perfect use of comics as a medium. Really, really good. And then at the end, there's a backup feature with a different artist. I should say this is written by John Rivera and drawn by Michael Avon Aiming. And there's other people involved. The backup is drawn by Paul Mabry, who I know I've seen somewhere, but it is called Cave Carson Has an Educational Podcast. And it is Cave Carson. And he has the same amount of subscribers as us, 12.
Wow. Nice.
So that was my go-to, like, I loved these books. And lots of carnage in these books. So if you don't like carnage...
Okay.
Avoid half of my list.
And speaking of carnage and things that you did not like.
Well, okay. Wait, what are you talking about?
Talking about Batman.
Oh, Batman. Okay. Yeah, I didn't
like Batman. So you're signing up on Batman. This is the first Batman comic I've read in forever that I cared about.
Funny.
I actually read this and I was like, I want to start reading Batman again because I read this. So that is very, it's kind of typical of our taste being diametrically opposed in a lot of cases.
Yeah, definitely.
But
talk about it then, because we want the positives.
I love the fact that it's completely out of continuity. I loved the fact that it was just like gratuitously violent in a way that is almost trauma-esque in its absurdity. I don't feel like it's a spoiler to say what happens in the first two seconds.
It's probably all over the internet.
It has to be. Green Lantern literally willpowers himself to blow his own head off with his ring in the first page.
So the setup for it is it's an alternate universe Batman story.
Yes.
So Green Lantern isn't, oh no, yeah, how dare they kill my childhood idols. It's just, you know, Dick Grayson is Batman in this. The thing with Duke.
They've lobotomized Duke.
God, I hated it was very sad. I just hated it. And I hate Booster. Well, I don't hate Booster Gold, but I don't particularly care for him. And
well,
it's
then
Booster
something
Gold.
Terrible happened to Booster Gold as well in this, so.
What? I stopped reading it halfway through.
So you
I
have.
I didn't like it. You have a the very, Joker had a mohawk. I was like, whatever.
No, then they that was a Joker. That was their. I assume that was their version of the Jokers from Batman Beyond.
Aw.
Yeah, see?
You said it happened to Booster Gold.
Well, I mean, technically.
I mean, I guess it kind of happened to him. Whatever. Anyway,
something
Batman
bad happened somewhere.
But the weird thing for me is
I
that,
dug it. It's weird. Sorry. It's gratuitously violent. It's pointless.
Yeah.
But it's fun in a way that Batman comics generally aren't.
True.
They tend to be very up their own butt about
The
continuity and all that stuff. And that really is not. That's just like, it did not care.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that for some reason, and it's not that I think that it's bad or anything like that. Like, mm-hmm. I don't any way. I don't like, Tom King has a very clear voice for Miracle, Mr. Miracle, Scott Free, and Big Barda in the Mr. Miracle comic that is actually touching on the level that you enjoy like fiction and things like that. Whereas his Batman voice, I just don't get or relate to. Right. However, this one, if you like a over-the-top dystopian Batman, I also feel like there's been a lot of over-the-top dystopian Batman series. And especially after, I'm just kind of burnt out, I think, on that. And maybe it's just the timing thing.
It could be.
We talked about a couple of
but
those
I
already.
Always love that. And it reminded me, it almost feels like the same universe as it isn't in the least, but it feels like the 666 universe because it
like
reminded
where Damian is Batman
and, where the Damian Batman and he's trapped the entire city and every place that you go there's some sort of he wasn't good enough to be Batman, so he just put booby traps all over all of Gotham.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I kind of
miss Grant
that.
Morrison.
Yes. God, I miss Grant Morrison writing superhero books.
Yeah.
And
although that Heavy Metal run has been had some gems.
Oh, God, it really has. Heavy Metal has been wonderful. Here's something that, another one that that Bob and I pretty much disagree on.
No, I did. Yeah, I think so. I just didn't like the end.
I didn't like the ending
either. It wasn't
either,
as strong, I should say. It wasn't even that I didn't like it. It just wasn't as strong.
Yeah, it was not a strong ending, I will agree. But Infinity, this is the Infinity Countdown number 2.
Number 2.
I... I'm really loving everything about this. I mean, I don't think it's a spoiler to say what happened to Groot at this point.
No.
Because we're already two issues in.
It's on the internet.
So I'm gonna spoil it to anybody who hasn't been paying attention. But Groot now speaks. Mm-hmm. Something happened with the gardener, and he, you know,
I love those guys.
Yes, one of the
Grandmaster Flash, the gardener,
Grandmaster Flash. And he went bonkers and started creating an army of evil Groots in the regular. Yeah. Guardians series.
Well, this is, if you liked the last Guardians series, the part basically of this that was awesome is just a continuation of the last Guardians.
I agree.
Series. It's the same creative team and everything.
And I will say that this doesn't feel like its own thing. This honestly just feels like a Guardians of the Galaxy comic. And all new Guardians of the Galaxy is my favorite Marvel comic, hands down. Hmm. That book kills me. Yeah. I absolutely love it on every level. I find the jokes like hit for me every time.
Yeah.
And like the art is beautiful. I love the characterizations. They feel like the original series and they feel like the movie at the same time.
Yeah.
Duggan's just got a very good comedic voice. He's got a very, the timing in it is beautiful. I like everything. Yeah.
And the artist is Aaron Cooter, and he's also really good.
Yeah, absolutely killing it.
Yeah, the first part of this is the Guardians, and like there's this amazing moment with Rocket Raccoon and Galactus that is is really good. And then the second half is a totally different creative team doing a completely different story with Adam Warlock and Ultron, and fortunately the best thing about that story for me is that it's only 5 pages of this issue.
Yeah. I will admit I liked the idea, and I definitely dig Ultron and the whole concept of where they're going with this version of Infinity. That, I mean, again, I don't know if these are spoilers, but Hank Pym being the one looking for the Infinity Stones now.
It's Hank Pym and Ultron are fused into one
whatever
character. Is that I understand that?
That's
right?
Basically the deal.
Yeah, and so that's the Ultron we're talking about, where it's got like a half human face.
Yes, and so now he's the one that's doing all of the searching for the Infinity Stones, and it's I think I see where they're going with it. I love the fact that they're drawing a lot of Cancerverse stuff into it, because that storyline was very cool.
Yeah. There were definitely throws to that.
Throws to Annihilation, which is like, oh god. Also, there are
the cat is knocking things over.
The cat is just trash in the place. But by the way, if you're listening to this and you like good comics, that's a thing that's now out in trade paperback, which hasn't been out forever.
That's cool.
It used to be like the second trade paperback for Annihilation was like $150 on eBay for the longest time.
Thanks.
So now they did all three trades together as one.
Oh,
and
cool.
So that's like a big like ultimate edition, and it's awesome.
Nice. I loved that story. God, I was super.
So
that was probably the last time that I was like epically into Marvel. I thought that whole cosmic thing was just really, really good.
And the stuff that came out of it afterwards was really cool. And when he came back and all of the, I don't know, I dug all of it. And I hate cosmic stuff.
Yeah,
I'm a huge X-Men fan who, like, the second they meet the Shi'ar, I'm just like, you know, I'm going to burn this.
Oh, really? You don't like
fuck
the Shi'ar?
The Shi'ar.
See, I like the Shi'ar, but I thought that the coolest character from when they were with the Shi'ar was Cannonball's girlfriend.
Gladiator.
No, Cannonball's girlfriend that could teleport anywhere in the universe. Like, it's like literally the best power that anyone's ever had, and she like never is in any comics. I'm like, she can go anywhere, and she's punk rock. Like mega star of the universe.
Oh yeah,
she's great.
But that's Leela, the reason that magic sucks whenever she's in something.
Yeah, because she's always limited. Or Nightcrawler is like, I could only teleport places I've been. It's can you teleport to the bathroom then?
But she's no longer limited like that.
Oh, she is.
Like she has this like she can teleport anywhere on Earth at any time. She has a sword that can cut through anything and take its soul. She has like other ridiculous magic powers. She's like psychic and telekinetic, and like she literally has the gamut. She's just OP to the nth. And it's like,
who was the guy?
How do you even write that character anymore?
I have a tangent, real brief.
Oh, please.
Who was the superhero that had the sword that was only a molecule thick? Shatterstar.
Yes.
Yeah, remember that? That yes. was cool. Does he still have that?
I assume so.
That was like the craziest thing. When I was like, I used to try to imagine that, like, it just like something so sharp. Like, yes. It's just like you can cut like space. I don't know. It's I really always liked that concept.
He was in New Mutants, right? Just recently. That New Mutants.
Oh,
Dead Souls.
I figured that out. It wasn't Shatterstar. It was Richter.
He's got the little eyeball eye thing.
Wait, I don't know. The one when I asked you, I was like, who's this? And you were like, that's Shatterstar. It was Richter. But maybe Shatterstar is also in the comic.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I still haven't. I want to get both issues and I haven't read it. So yeah. I don't know. But next issue comes out, we'll know.
Absolutely.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And also read that New Mutants comic. It's really fun.
Yeah. It's really
cool.
Dead
Souls.
Yeah. I looked at it and I definitely want to pick that up. Based on your recommendation, which is a good one. So Infinity Countdown number 2 is out. That's a big Marvel thing. Another big Marvel thing is Avengers No Surrender Part 15. And I've decided so this was good. I liked it. Beginning to end, fun, fight scene, all the Avengers stuff, you know, posing photos, like that kind of stuff that you like.
Oh, look at them posing.
Look at that. It's all of them right there in a big row.
Come on, I am such a sucker for the like, ending something with this is now the team.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we're not supposed to talk about the movies, but that was like in that movie, that was the one that I was like, oh, they just kind of all show up at the end, just like the comic.
I like that. so this was fun, but I decided with this that what I'm going to do the next time there's a huge multi-part, 16-part crossover series is I'm going to ignore it completely.
And then
I'm not going to
read
any copies of it, any of part 1 through 14, and then I'm just going to read 15 and 16 and see if I can tell, A, what's going on, and then B, you know, because this is too long. It'll be a great trade, but like a single issues couldn't do it. But I liked this, you know, it's fun. I mean, whatever. It's that thing that superhero comics do, and it's done well.
And it looks like it has Moleculo. The Molecular Man.
I missed that.
No, I think it's Molecule Man.
It has Grandmaster Flash.
Oh, it's the Grandmaster. It's not Molecule Man.
Oh, man. Oh, Molecule Man. Yeah. Owen. His name's Owen.
He'll never be a Jimmy Wolverine, no matter how hard he tries.
Look at old Jimmy Wolverine. Should we stick with publishers or should we?
Whatever. Let's just move around.
Cable is out.
Cable is a comic book. So Wasted Space.
Oh yeah, I read that. It did not.
So from Vault Comics.
Pretty looking.
It's cool. It's funny. It has a very the art has a very interesting 90s style. It almost looks like Rob Schraub. Like, I looked at it and I was like, oh, this is very Scud the Disposable Assassin looking in places. You know, not funny, but very Scud the Disposable Assassin.
It was really hard to figure out what was happening, but it's basically a setup issue for a team of adventurers and some kind of blue super guy. And they live in space, and it's very religious, and which is, I think, why I didn't get into it, because I dislike often anything with heavy religious overtones in comics. But this was written, I feel like this was just kind of like a movie that they turned in, like a movie that didn't get made, but got turned into a comic. Or maybe it was made as a comic and in hopes that it would become a show or movie. But Wasted Space number 1 by Michael Morici, Hayden Sherman on art, some other people. And it's a space drama comic from Vault Comics. And the art is, I thought the art was really good. I wanted to like it. But
I definitely got Rob Schraub from it. I can't help it. It really felt Rob Schraub-y.
Yeah, that's cool. I can see that.
And Skyward.
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap.
So this was funny. I went through all of the comics like 3 times, and I did not see this book. And then 5 seconds before we left the store to come here and do this, I saw this comic, Skyward, number 1 from Image, by Joe Henderson, writer, Lee Garbett, artist, and others. And I am putting
it
in my folder to purchase. Yeah. This is a great book. And what's funny for me is that it's literally the thing. I have a I actually have like a condition that's like kind of like vertigo-ish.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have this weird irrational fear of falling off the face of the planet. And it's, so this is literally what happens in this comic is that gravity changes and everything, they don't fall off the planet, but everything.
But it is feasible that if you jump too hard,
you could
literally fly into space and die.
Right.
In this gravitational world.
But so what I liked about this book was that it sets up the characters, the event, it all happens. It's not super wordy. It's not, you don't have to like scratch your head and figure it out, start again. It's just like, boom, boom. You know exactly visually what is happening in this comic immediately. And then it just jumps into, it's 20 years later, and the kids that were babies when gravity changed are now young adults, and this is the world they inhabit, where everything is lighter and they hang bricks to themselves so they don't fall off the earth, and it's crazy. And I the art is really, really good, and I can't wait to check out more of this. This is a great first issue.
Yeah.
Great first issue.
Absolutely. Totally on board with Skyward.
Skyward.
And honestly, Skybound, I haven't, I've been about 50-50 on their books. I think that's a Skybound.
I don't think this is.
Oh, no, maybe that's,
I don't see that Skybound logo.
Oh, it's a Skyward logo. Maybe that's why I thought. So yeah. There it is. It's an image book. But yeah, I was really into it.
Oh man, seriously. You kind of need to, I guess it's just, forget it. I didn't say anything.
Forget it.
I didn't say anything. I can knock a couple things out here.
Okay.
We're almost done at this point.
Cool.
Yeah, let's just talk a little bit about, and we'll save that for. So, really surprised by Green Lanterns this week. Not something that I'll be, bringing home or anything, but if you are a Green Lantern of the post-Blackest Night kind of era, there's a cool throw in this that I liked.
That's me. I'm that person.
Yeah. It was. I was surprised at the. It's all about the female Green Lantern, Jessica Cruz, and her Power Ring, which is powered by.
Who was previously known as Power Ring, but is not anymore.
No,
known
she's Green Lantern now.
She's now just a Green Lantern.
And then from the world of superheroes, Aquaman was actually way better than I thought it was going to be. It's mainly due to the presence
King
of
Shark.
King Shark, who is all through this issue and awesome. King Shark.
I want to read that.
He's underwater, but there was some other really cool stuff in there.
Awesome.
If you are an Aquaman fan, you'll love it. If you're an Aquaman fan who hasn't read an Aquaman comic in a while, I might pick it up if I were you, because I did and I thought it was quite good.
Yeah, they got him. They got him back being beardy.
He's beardy. He's kingy.
Good beardy.
He's kingy and beardy. But it's
whoa.
Yeah, there's. I mean, and also
I don't know what's going on here, but I think it's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a good looking book, and King Shark is in it.
Yep.
Also, there's a new issue of Curse Words from Charles Soule and one of my favorite cartoonists, Ryan Brown, with an E. And I no longer understand what's happening in this series because I'm several issues behind and I did not have a chance to actually read through all of this. But the new issue is out. Curse Words by Charles Soule, Ryan Brown.
Oh man, someone was doing a Kickstarter for something recently and Ryan Brown did some pages for it.
Oh, love
and
that guy.
He did a bunch of God Hates Astronauts pages for it. So it was all God Hates Astronauts characters, which was super cool. I was like, I didn't realize how much I missed God Hates Astronauts until I saw that. I was like, oh, shit.
The two things I miss from Image the most are God Hates Astronauts and Manhattan Projects.
Ooh, yeah.
I don't know what happened with that. I missed that series like nobody's business.
Yep.
Manhattan Projects, if you haven't read it, go get the trades. That is the definition of bonkers.
Perfect timing. I literally just noticed yesterday that we were sold out of everything but trade 4.
Oh, wow.
Sorry. So, eventually we'll have those back.
Yeah. Well, I guess, bide your time. But that is a great series.
Yeah.
And then there's also a new Usagi Yojimbo series for Dark Horse, Stan Sakai. Still doing that Usagi thing. This is like we were talking about Resident Alien last week, and I was like, I love that this book is still around. Usagi Yojimbo, I love that this is still around. It's two of seven. So in another story, Usagi comes in and has adventures in a town. And I just singled it out because I wanted to mention that it's out.
Yeah.
But I didn't actually read it.
He's always great, and he's always awesome.
Yeah, he's great. I love his cartooning style, and I love I used to eat these up when I was a kid. Gru and Usagi were my two of my favorite comics for a very long time.
Yeah, people need to get their kids into Usagi Yojimbo because I don't find that I sell it to kids that much, but I have two kids that come in that two different kids from different families that are stoked. It is the only thing they care about. And I feel like that's because they've read it and that's it. And it's just that no one else gives it a chance because a lot of kids are turned off by the black and white or what have you.
Yeah.
It's too bad because it's great.
Yeah. And actually I will use that.
What is 47 Ronin was in color, which was really good.
Right on. I like this because it's a samurai comic where people the stories have gravity, people die, but it's not ever gory or anything. Yeah. It's not necessarily all ages, but it's once the child can understand the concept of death, this book is safe.
Yeah, absolutely.
And really good. This is a murder mystery, and it stars Usagi as the traveling guy who helps the shogunate figure out what's going on in the town.
He's the Zatoichi or the lone wolf without a cub or
Sans cub, although he has a cub.
Oh,
I think so. At one point there was a little bit, but you were talking about black and white art.
Yes.
And I thought that would be a good segue to talk about another number one issue.
Love
from this
book.
Week. I did too. It's called Survival Fetish, number one from Black Mask. And this is, it's a bigger story than is told in this issue, but something is going on in this near future world where it's not, I guess it's a little dystopian, but it's not apocalyptic or anything like that. But basically,
it's pretty dystopian. You kind of can't go anywhere without getting shot.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but there's a really cool twist at the end, the last. So this is a kid, young kid, who makes a living as a courier in Hawaii. And everywhere he goes, someone tries to shoot him, and everyone. There are snipers in these super tall buildings, and they just sit there and they just kill whoever they feel like killing. And it's kind of mob controlled, and everything is. But you're just kind of figuring out the dynamics of what's going on in this world. But you're following this kid, and he's getting killed, and
he's a free runner,
beaten up, and but yeah. And I thought this was really well written, black and white art. And so
I don't remember what the twist is that you're saying. I need to look at this again.
Oh, it's just the last three pages. There is a twist at the end that kind of gives the story a hook, maybe puts a... I would want to compare it to books that I actually haven't read, but I would say it's a good series hook. At the end of the first issue, there's definitely things are not as entirely as they seem.
Yes, that's right.
In this world, but it was really written and really well paced as a black and white book. Sometimes they can be hard to access, and I found this one was actually quite engaging. And,
I forgot the most important part of the story, so apparently it's a little bit hard to access for me.
but you also read 80 comics.
Yeah, I did.
You could talk about this one.
Here,
we're down to the last. Assassinistas is out. I just wanted to mention it. Assassinistas from Black Crown by... Who is it? By... man, I'm terrible. And they didn't put I just don't know the name of the writer.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I could waste a bunch of time talking about it. It's a book about assassin clubs I don't know what it's even about. It's about assassinistas, and it's crazy Kill Bill kind of with super duper cartoony art. I like it and didn't read it.
The person that I know who was writing it is no longer writing it. So
yeah, someone last named Howard, and then Hernandez, one of the Hernandez,
Jamie.
Is it Jamie?
I think so.
Oh.
I don't know why they don't
it's
have
killing me.
Front names. But front names.
Front
names.
Names
is like a first
What's
name.
What's your front name, boy? You come here often? What's your front name?
Yeah, I come from the hills, and I call them front names.
Friend names. What? Why is there no creator credit in this book?
I'm going to talk about one last book.
Yeah, one last book. So you've been waiting the whole time for this.
I really haven't, but this is kind of one of the big deals that's been going on.
Yeah.
People have been really digging Amazing Spider-Man ever since this is going to be the last big hurrah before issue 800.
This is number 799.
Yeah, so it is the penultimate issue to
blah, blah. I enjoyed this issue.
But it really is fun. The Red Goblin stuff, as dumb as it seemed to me at first, where it's just like, okay, so it's just another goblin and you colored it red. This is literally the same thing you did with the Hulk a little while ago. You just colored him red again.
Yeah.
But
there was an issue of Venomized out this week.
Yeah, there was.
Sorry.
I'm going to ignore that. I love Cullen Bunn too much to talk about that book.
Yeah, yeah.
This is really fun. Unfortunately, we find out that Chad was really hoping for a storyline to come to fruition with this last one, and it didn't.
What was that?
Because
there's
a future story. Well, in the last issue, Spider-Man got one of the pumpkin bombs that they have. It avoids his spider sense, so it's stuck to his leg.
And it blows up.
And it blows up. And it blows up his leg.
Yeah. And so
that was setting up an issue from the future that Reed was supposed to build him a mechanical leg in one of the Spider-Girl comics.
Yeah. In the original Spider-Girl comic, she isn't Spider-Girl, and she's like growing up at home, and Peter Parker has a fake leg
built by Reed Richards. And so Chad was really like, oh my God, this is where the fake leg comes from. And sorry, spoilers, everybody. This is not where the fake leg comes from.
It's not where the fake leg comes from. But I don't know. This was great. There's a lot of guest stars. Human Torch is in it. Some Venom.
Agent Anti-Venom.
Anti-Venom. And then Silk is in it. And Miles Morales is in it. And then some guy with Vertigo stripes on him is in it as well.
Let's call him Count Vertigo.
We'll call him Count Vertigo, making his first Marvel appearance.
Marvel shirts.
The DC sold just Count Vertigo.
You can have that one.
You can have any guy you want as long as it's Count Vertigo.
And Marvel said, no thanks.
Yeah. We'll just create.
Probably have another character that's exactly like that and terrible.
Oh, yeah. At least a couple. I don't know. Yeah, there's nothing.
Maybe
he's
the Spot. Who the fuck is he?
His name is... he's Quake. What's his name? Quake?
I don't know.
His name is
Quisp.
Quisp.
I hear he's crazy.
He's been introduced into Spider-Man continuity fairly recently. Clash.
Okay.
His name is Clash.
God, thank you, but no thank you.
Yeah, well, whatever. There's also like Mary Jane, Norman Osborn, Liz Allen, Flash Thompson, because he's anti-Venom. It's kind of a convergence of the spider
spider folks
thing. And then there's a weird cliffhanger that's just kind of creepy.
There's a real weird ending to this one, but it's cool. I'm curious to see
basically
where it goes.
If your last name is Osborne and your first name is your front name is not Ozzy, like you are not happy ride.
Things are bad. So that's it. Those are the things that are going on this week.
There's so many, actually, and we didn't even, there's still a ton of stuff sitting on the shelf that we didn't signal aside to. So definitely, you know, come in and look and root.
Yeah, and of course the 10 different covers for
action
this week. And don't forget that we have Sean coming in to sign the week after Free Comic Book Day. So the week after next is Free Comic Book Day on Saturday.
Yeah.
Then the week after that is the Sean Gordon Murphy signing for the last issue of White Knight. Issue 8 will be coming out that week.
We just had
our 10th anniversary party. Hey. We still have copies of the magazine to sell. We still have cupcakes left over. No, sadly we don't. Our cake person bailed on us. That was a bummer.
What?
Yeah, I know. That's
a bummer.
You know, we survived without cake though. So
I'll make you a cake.
Okay, thanks.
It just might be
it should say 10.5. two, three.
Anniversary. I'm going to get you a cake for your 10.1 anniversary.
I like it.
After my wedding, I will make a cake.
Just take a piece of the wedding cake and put it in the, pieces in the styrofoam box for me.
Our wedding cake is awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah, anyway.
All right. Yeah, that's it. And thank you guys so much.
Yeah. It's always fun. Oh, wait. Do you want to? I guess we don't need to say Coast City Comics.
We are Coast City Comics. And yeah, come buy things. Yeah. www.coastcitycomics.com.
Yeah.
All right. Good night.
Cool. Bye.